Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today in our discussion of Jesus Christ, we are on the letter G. If you haven't been following us, we've been going through the alphabet and preaching things about the Lord Jesus Christ concerning each letter of the alphabet. We started with A, of course. We've gone all the way through F. Now we're looking at G today. G. And what we do simply is we find letters, words actually, that begin with these letters that characterize the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, when you're on the letter G, the most obvious G concerning the Lord Jesus Christ is that he's God. There are a number of things that I have on the list here, but I can't think of anything more important to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ than that one thing. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. You know what that verse says? That says Jesus was God. Now, from time to time you hear us say things about modern Bibles, and so I know it raises questions in your mind, why do we say that and so forth? Well, if you have a modern Bible like an NIV, a New American Standard Version, something like that, and you read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, you're not going to read in there what I just read to you. That's right. What you read with me in a King James Bible right now is, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Listen, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hey, you can't miss that. You know what that tells you? That Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. But you got a Bible like NIV, New American Standard, RSV, one of the new, you know, CEW, PEQ, whatever they call them today. You get to this verse here and they take God right out of the verse. Why would you do that? I ask people all the time, you know, because they'll ask me when we have a conversation in their homes, we're visiting or whatever, they say, oh, by the way, I wanted to ask you, I understand you believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Just want to know why. What's the difference? Why do you say that? And I'll take them to a verse like this one and I'll say, look at the change. What's the reason for that? And they're like scratching their head. I tell them, I said, I can think of no other person in this universe that's more interested in getting God out of Jesus Christ so that he's not recognized as deity than the devil himself. You say, well, would the devil influence the good godly scholars that are on the translations committees of these great modern Bibles? And I said, if he spoke through the mouth of Peter, who had just made the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, in Matthew chapter 16, and Peter's the one who's given the opportunity to preach the great sermon in Acts chapter 2 where 3,000 souls get saved, don't tell me he can't preach through the voice of any man except for Jesus Christ. That's right. And so he goes to work in these things. Listen, he knows who Jesus Christ is. The devil does. But he doesn't want you to know. He knew what was going on with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but he didn't want Eve to know. And so when they got talking about that tree, he said, don't be so sure you're going to die. It's not a sure thing. He said, you shall not surely die. So it was a lie. He said, look at the tree. She looked at the tree and he says, what do you see? And she said, well, it's a good-looking tree. It's pleasant to the eyes, good for food, a tree to be desired to make one wise. She saw all the good qualities of the tree. And she ate. And sin came in, and Adam ate, and now everybody dies and creation's all messed up as a result of that. He didn't want her to know what was really in that tree, and he doesn't really want you to know what's in Jesus Christ. So he gets these Bibles out there, and you say, well, that's easier to understand. I'm going to tell you, I've read the modern Bibles. They're not easier to understand. The wording sounds like it would be, because it doesn't say thee and thou and begat and begot and hence and thence, and you're thinking, okay, this has got to be easier than the King James Bible. It's not. And for several reasons, and really I don't want to get off on this subject today, but over 1,000 of the words you use in your common everyday language, like stuff, that's in the King James Bible. It's not in the modern Bibles. You say a word like stuff has been changed? Well, how can you get it any simpler than that? You can't. What they're selling you is a bill of goods. The NIV has 64,000 less words in it than a King James Bible. Where did those words go? It's crazy. I'm telling you, man, the stuff is crazy. You don't need a scholar or something written in newspaper-type jargon in order to make the words of God easier to understand. You need two things. Number one, you need the Spirit of God to reveal those things to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's what you need. You need the wisdom of God. That comes from the Spirit of God. That comes from your humility with a humble mind and a believing heart. And then God shows you things. Jesus Christ is speaking. He says to his Father, it's the only time that Jesus Christ ever rejoiced in spirit while he was here on the earth that's been recorded in the Bible. He said, I thank thee, O God, that thou hast not revealed this unto the wise and prudent, but unto babes. The wise and prudent couldn't get it. And the wise and prudent don't get it now. So don't rely upon their scholarship to think you're going to get a better understanding of God's words. You're not. You need the Spirit of God. That's the first thing. And Job 28:28 tells you the next thing you need. The fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. You need the combination of the fear of God and to quit that wickedness in your life that you keep seeing when you read the book. That's right, the worst wickedness that men have these days that profess to be Christians is pride. And then just a neglect for the words of God. There's all kinds of sin going on. People are fornicating and drinking and cussing and carrying on, looking at stuff they shouldn't be looking at, thinking about things they oughtn't to be thinking about, saying things they oughtn't to say, and thinking, well, God hadn't struck me down with lightning, I'm going to keep on doing this. And building up big works on their big works philosophies and not on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And boy, I'll tell you what, God's not in much of this. So quit that stuff. Depart from evil. Walk in the fear of God. Rely upon the Spirit of God and you'll understand. And you know what? Right now, you're not going to find anything simpler than what you just read in 1 Timothy chapter 3:16 about Jesus Christ and his deity. He is God manifest in the flesh. You heard it right here on KCTA, right out of a King James Bible. There's nothing wrong with it. That's it. And I'm not saying that you're less of a Christian because you've been reading a modern Bible or something like that. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to run you off. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to teach you something because you've been sold a bill of goods by some men that copyrighted a book. And because it's copyrighted, people have to print it with permission. That means they got to go to the authorities and say, hey, this King James Bible, it's not copyrighted. You can print it any way you want to print it, put it out any way you want to put it out. And I mean, just give God the glory. Nobody, you don't have to ask permission from anybody. You don't have to pay anybody any royalties or rights. You can print it yourself. You can put it out in handwriting. You get it on a computer and distribute it around any way you want to. You don't owe anybody an explanation. That ought to tell you something. And that Bible right there tells you about your Savior, Jesus Christ. He's God. That's how come he was able to raise the dead. That's how come he was able to cleanse the lepers. That's how he was able to heal the sick and make the blind to see. That's how he rose from the dead. That's how he was the one that was able to fulfill the prophecy of Genesis 22:8 when Abraham said in answer to Isaac's question about where the sacrifice it is, he said that God shall provide himself a lamb. And God came down here in the form of a man, and he was introduced by John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he died. God didn't die, but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ died, and he came back up, and he lives forever. He's God. That's the best G I can tell you. He's God, manifest in the flesh. And I'm going to tell you something. If you needed God, now I'm not talking about little G-O-D, like people do whenever they want to say, well, we really don't believe. We're kind of leaning toward these atheists. Little G-O-D. He's none of that. He's the big G-O-D. These Jehovah's Witnesses run around. You want to find out all this, study with us for 52 weeks, and we'll show you how to get into paradise through Jehovah. My Bible says you want something to do with Jehovah, you come to Jesus Christ. You don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ, you're not going to get to do anything with his Father because he's not going to let you. See, that's because you got to understand that he is God. Listen to this verse. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Now, get all bent out of shape because they come over here and tell you that Jehovah's in Psalm 83 there in the last verse or somewhere in Jeremiah. Don't worry about all that stuff. You worry about one thing. Recognize that Jesus Christ is God, and if you want anything to do with God, do it with Jesus Christ and you'll get through. That's right. He's God manifest in the flesh, and that's what the Bible, the living Word of God, says. He's God. And because he's God, the next G about him is he's glory. In John, I've quoted that to you, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then we come down to verse 14, and it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, his glory. Now, you know what? Since he is God manifest in the flesh, you owe him homage, humility, praise. That's right. I was looking at something the other day, and it struck me. Bill Cosby is a very funny comedian. He really is. And for the most part, he's kept away from vulgarity. I mean, a lot of these comedians today, they start out, they start getting a few laughs, and then what they have to do is they have to really start invoking some filthy stuff in order to keep getting the laughs, and they just kind of tank. Well, for the most part, Bill Cosby has avoided that tendency. And so he has a wide appeal. But I'm going to tell you something. When he's being funny and he wants to invoke deity, he uses the word Jesus Christ as an expletive. You know, Jesus Christ, and like that. I can hardly even say it. I'm just so you understand what I meant when I said expletive, right? It's instead of saying God with, you know, the last name the world gave him, which is damn. And I'm going to tell you something. That's not funny. That's not funny at all. And I don't remember what it was or where I saw it. I just happened to see some clip like that, and he was doing that, and I saw that I heard it make that statement, and I thought to myself, that's not funny. I don't even like that. And it really, really turned me off, because that name, Jesus Christ, is the name that is above every name. There's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's an exalted name, a name above every name. And to that name men should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and give glory to God. Now, I didn't quote the verse for you, but you know what I was talking about from Philippians chapter 2. So let's quote the verse and get it down exactly the way the Lord said it. And he says, wherefore God hath also exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's glory, man. He's glory. Here's 10 lepers. All of them get healed. And one of them turns around, or cleansed anyway, one of them turns around and gives glory to God with a loud voice. And he says, I'll make you whole. He got more than clean, and he got fixed. Whatever had been chewed off by the leprosy and was gone of his limbs are all right back there again. He was whole. Let me tell you something. You don't ever take that name in vain. Ever. If the words come to your lips because you've heard other people saying that when they've hit their thumbs with hammers, or you've heard comedians trying to be funny, you know, I'm trying to be funny. I'm going to pull this name down here where we can put it in the gutter and make a laugh and I can make some money off of you. Don't you dare. Ever, 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 ever don't you dare. That is God manifest in the flesh. He is the glory of God, and he deserves your glory. You want to use His name, use it in prayer. You want to use His name, use it in witnessing. You want to use His name, sing to the top of your lungs hymns. You know what's wrong with some of this modern music now? They've taken the glory away from Jesus Christ. Somebody was telling me the other day, one of these really well-known modern contemporary artists has come out with two new CDs. And the time I heard this was 18 months ago. He may have come out with some more by now. They went through, I think there were 2,500 or 2,700 words of lyrics in both of those CDs. The name Jesus was not mentioned one time. In two CDs, 2,700 words of lyrics. What's wrong with this picture? You know what's wrong with this picture? He deserves glory, and he's not getting it. Men are glorying in themselves. They're glorying in what they've produced. In this age in which we live, the Bible says we're rich and increased with good and have needs of nothing. The Lord says you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The reason is you don't understand where any of this came from. It comes from Jesus, and he deserves your glory. I'll tell you something else in Luke chapter 18. He's good. Now, the rich young ruler didn't understand what he was saying when he came up to Jesus Christ and called him good master, and the Lord corrected him. He said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Now, that some people say, well, therefore Jesus Christ was professing that he wasn't God. No, not at all. He's saying to that rich young ruler, you recognize me for God, you can call me good, but if you think I'm just a master and just a man, you have no business calling me good. This isn't the good old boy society. You're a rich young ruler. You're used to hobnobbing with the big shots. You recognize me as a good big shot, so you're coming up to me like, hey, good buddy. Or like some people say about the Lord here that are not even saved, the man upstairs. Yeah, the good Lord. Yeah, you've heard that kind of casual conversation. And the Lord's like, what are you doing calling me that? You don't even know what you're saying. Now, I recognize him as God, and therefore I can call him good. You recognize him as God and can do the same thing. Jesus Christ said to us in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. He's good. He's the goodness of God embodied in a man's body. Everything he did was good. You know, I like good. I want to be good. I like to be around good people. I like good food. I like good water. I like good sleep. I like good fellowship. I like good preaching. I like good music. I like good things. I like a good car. I really do. If I hunt, I like a good hunt. If I go fishing, I want a good fishing trip. That's right. I like good things. Whenever I give my wife a present, I want her to have something good. And so if I can afford it, I don't buy something cheap just to say, okay, here's something for you. Try to find something that's good. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll never, in all of your attempts to see things that are good or be around things that are good or do things that are good, you will never find anything as good as Jesus Christ. Nothing. Oh, not even hold a candle to him. So here's what I think. You like good things? Love Jesus. You like good fellowship? Have fellowship with Jesus. You like good singing? Sing about Jesus. You like good preaching? Preach about Jesus. Or go to somebody who does. You like good company? Hang around Jesus. You like good words? Read his book. You like good conversation? Talk to him. You like good things? Lay up treasures for yourself in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. Thieves do not break through and steal. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. If you like good things, isn't that an amazing thing? You like good fishing? Lead souls to Jesus Christ. You like a good hunt? Go find you somebody that's lost that needs Jesus. You like good words? Memorize the scripture and quote what you've memorized. He's good. You will never find anything bad about him. And yet the world today now wants to say out bad things about Jesus Christ. Like when he was here on the earth, they had bad things to say about him. They said he was a Galilean. Like that was some derogatory thing. They're down there in Jerusalem, you know, where the big shots were in Judea, so he's a Galilean. Peter was a Galilean, and when they were, accusing him of being one of Jesus Christ's associates, and he was trying to worm out of that and deny it, they said, you're from Galilee. Your speech bewrayeth you. In other words, they talk funny. It's kind of the same thing that happens with Yankees and Southerners. Southerners go up there to the north or into New England and you can talk that drawl and all that kind of stuff. Oh, you're just an old Southerner. They still have that leftover from the Civil War type attitude, you know. And Yankees come down here, we hear them talk, and we've got all this drawl in our voice, and they're talking out of their nose, and people are like, Yankees. And then we all go over to Paris, and they all, Americans. So they have this derogatory thing about Jesus Christ. Well, Pilate knew that he was a Galilean. Pilate was trying to get away from having to make the decision about whether to crucify him. He couldn't handle the mob. But the Bible says when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean, and he was. That's why he sent him over to Herod's jurisdiction, because Herod was down there at the time. But they didn't like him. And in another place, in John chapter 7, at the end there, the Pharisees are having it out, and Nicodemus is there, and they're all wanting to get rid of Jesus Christ. And Nicodemus is, you know, he's kind of trying to take a mild stand for Jesus Christ, so they jump him out. He asked the question in verse 51 of John chapter 7. He said, "Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth?" And in verse 52, they answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And every man went into his own house. That put down, see, they're all from up there. And the Galilee has never produced a prophet. So Jesus Christ, he's from Galilee, he can't be a prophet. They were so wrong. They're so stuck up, they didn't even know their Bible. They didn't know their Old Testament. You know, there's one prophet that was from Galilee. And if I allowed you to guess, I said three guesses, you might guess who it is if you really thought about some things that Jesus Christ said. You might say Elijah. You might say Jeremiah, because they think that Jesus Christ is one of those two. Or you might say Jonah. And if you said Jonah, you would be right. According to 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 25, Jonah was from Gath-Hepher, and Gath-Hepher is in Galilee. The neat thing about it is that Jesus Christ said to the wicked and adulterous generation to whom he was preaching, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and no sign shall be given to this generation but the sign of the prophet Jonas." Oh, there was more connection to him than you thought. Jonas was in a whale's belly for 3 days and three nights, like Jesus Christ was in the heart of the earth. Jonah was in hell, Jonah chapter 2, verse 2, and Jesus Christ's soul was in hell for 3 days and three nights, and Jonah was from Galilee, and so was Jesus Christ, and the derogatory statement actually tied the thing up tighter, so there were three confirming witnesses, and they turned him down. Let me tell you something. It doesn't make any difference that Jesus Christ came from Galilee as far as your salvation is concerned. He was a man of humble means and came from that area out of humility. He was a man. You know, when you get to thinking about how the Pharisees answered, I have a relative who said to me the other day that Jesus was just made up character. There was no man named Jesus that really existed. Well, let me tell you something. If you're going to make up the character of Jesus Christ, you would have him from Judea. You would have him from Jerusalem. The fact that he is from Galilee is something that is derogatory, and nobody making the story up would put him from there. It just, in my mind, gives me more confirmation that the thing is real. But not only that, Jesus Christ in John chapter 3, verse 16 is the gift. Call him what you will, think of him as you ever you want. He is a gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's no greater G-I-F-T gift that can be given to you or to any man than that gift of Jesus Christ. None. He's fabulous. You see, with the gift of Jesus Christ comes a lot of things. You get peace. You know, I need that. You get love. And oh, who doesn't want to be loved? And I mean love the right way, right? A giving kind of a love. Love, joy. Oh, these people in this generation are seeking for every kind of play toy to make them happy. The more toys they gather around themselves to try to make themselves happy, the more it indicates to me they're not happy at all. They're not happy in their marriages, and that's why they're busting out of their relationships. They're not happy in their family lives, and that's why the kids want to get out of the house and go find their own friends. They're not happy with their jobs. They're not happy with their facial features. They're not happy with their clothes. They're not happy with their level of income. They're not happy with their country. They're not happy. They're not happy. And they're complaining all the time. And, you know, some people have a tendency to listen to a lot of talk radio, and I guess you can learn a few things from that. Frankly, a little bit of it goes a long way for me. I haven't listened to it in weeks. And when I do listen to it, I get about 5 minutes. I'm serious. About 5 or 10 minutes of that's about all I can take, and that'll do me for about another 2 or 3 weeks. You say you just want to remain in ignorance? No, I don't want to be a chronic complainer. Now, I realize the guys are trying to keep you informed. I realize they're trying to help us, you know, keep our heads screwed on straight and things like that. But the chronic complaining. Listen, you want to just get to the real heart of all the matter? There is a gift that God has given to this world, and the problem is people are not receiving the gift in its entirety. In other words, if somebody gave you a gift for Christmas and you didn't open it up, you say, oh, nice gift, thank you very much, I appreciate your generosity and kindness. You never opened it up, never even pulled the thing out of the box, never even used it. You wouldn't have any idea what you were missing. You get saved, you get the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell you something. Open him up, get to know him, get into that Bible, get into prayer, get into fellowship. You'll have love, you'll have joy, you'll have peace. You won't be looking for worldly stimulation to try to make you happy, because the happiness will be on the inside, and worldly stimulation will do nothing but take you down a notch. And you'll have long-suffering and gentleness and faith and meekness and temperance and goodness. And the people around you will be going, man, I really like being around you. Why? Because you're good, man. I like being around you because you're patient. I like being around you because you could put up with me for a long time. You're long-suffering. You're gentle. You're easygoing. You're faith. You believe in God. You wait on God, and God does things for you. That's all tied up in the gift of Jesus Christ. G-I-F-T. I have some other G's here I'm not going to get to. You get to preaching about Jesus Christ, the fact that he's God, that he's glory, that he's good, that he was low-rated by men as a Galilean, but he's a gift from God to you. I'm telling you, get all you can of Jesus Christ. Explore the gift. Spend time with it. Playing with it. You know what I mean? When people give you a gift, they want you to enjoy it, use it, and all that kind of stuff. Don't put it on the shelf and put it away for future day. Get all of it you can get right now in Jesus Christ. He's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gift. And might I say this, if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, receive him now. He is the greatest gift that has ever been given to this world by God Almighty, and he's yours for the receiving. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.